This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You are in the Words Huddle with me, Bram No Margus, today, but with me, per usual, my master, all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime couldn't be more fired up to announce that joining us after way too long and only his second appearance in the huddle, a former writer for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, where he covered the Raiders, Aces, Golden Knights, and combat sports, the new Golden State beat writer for the San Francisco Chronicle, who attends every single practice, press conference, shoot around, and game. And a guy whose play-by-play on Twitter got me through the Memphis game on Wednesday night, Mr. Sam Gordon. What's going on, Sam?
How you doing, Bram? What's up, Maxime? Appreciate you guys having me. Great to be back.
Come on, man. It's our pleasure. And I meant what I said. So Wednesday night unfolds. I got to go to a dinner with my wife and a couple of her friends. I like the people, but Sam, I'm pissy. It's a fucking huge game. The Warriors are coming off a bad loss to the Knicks. It felt like a kind of game they would lose, you know? And so, like, I didn't want to be at the dinner, man. I wanted to be watching the game. And I check my phone, I hop on Twitter, and I just happen to run into your feed. And I don't know if you've had the pleasure of watching it, Maxime, but Sam basically gives a play-by-play of the things that are significant. And I find myself, Sam, instead of watching the actual score go up or down, I'm just rolling along with you. It's almost like we watched the game together, although you didn't know that. So, you know, appreciate you. You brought me through. We got the win. I kind of credit you. Nicely played, man.
Man, I appreciate you following along. It was quite the bounce back performance. Definitely one that I think the Warriors needed coming off of the Knicks game. So appreciate you leaning on my kind of viewpoints on that to get you through.
Yeah, well, now that I've given you the compliment, I'll also give you the FU. Your compliments of Santi Aldama, I didn't like. Don't be pointing out the three-point shooting of the other team, man. Like, I mean, like, call it lucky something. Like, I didn't need that. Aldama doesn't deserve any credit, but I tell you what, Sam, we are burying the lead, yeah? The Warriors are seemingly locked into a battle with L.A. in the cellar of the play-in tournament. We don't know where they're going to go, either 9th or 10th. I've spent the last few weeks desperately hoping they would slide into the sixth spot, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen. All right. So for the purposes of this first section, I'm just going to assume that we got to play LA in that the back half of the play-in in that 9th-10th matchup. So here's our first question, man. How important is home court advantage for that game? Because right now the Warriors are half a game out. Yeah. So if the season ended today, it's in LA. But half a game is nothing. That could change this evening. And if they get above them, it's in Golden State. So, you know, what's at stake here, man? How big of a deal is it?
Well, look, you know, I don't think it's any secret, right? The Warriors have struggled a little more at home this year than they have last season, right? I believe 18-18 now with 5 home games to go. They're at 500. They got back to 500 with that win over Memphis. They've actually been a little better on the road. And, of course, just last Saturday, played the Lakers really well on the road. In Crypto.com Arena. That being said, I still think, despite the struggles you've had this season, I still think in a game of that magnitude, in a you know, win-or-go-home situation, you'd still rather have that game at home, right? I think you'd rather bet on the last 8 or 9 years of history as opposed to necessarily just this year. So there should be, I think, urgency to have that game at home. And then, you know, for nothing more, if you win – that the travel is a little easier as well, right? Flying out of San Francisco, being able to do that as opposed to going playing 2 playing games on a road situation. So I think that's absolutely a factor. But it has been a little surprising this year overall just to see that the inconsistencies Or maybe it is, maybe it's consistency, right? Consistently a 500 caliber team at home. That's been unique, because for all the struggles the Warriors obviously had last year, playing at home was not one of them. So players don't seem to really be able to kind of point their finger to it, or why the struggles have been happening, coaches too. So that being said, again, still rather be at Chase Center, I think, if you're the Warriors, than have to go down to Crypto.com Arena in a one-game setting for sure.
Maxime, Sam really made me think here. All right, so on my notes, you know, I got the go-to, Steph doesn't play well in Staples Center. I was going to use the phrase boxing lights because it makes me feel like I'm important and I know something out there, yeah. But I hadn't really thought about the 500 record at home. He's right. You know, we haven't been incredible at home. So what do you think, Maxime? Like, what if you could press the magic button, we could play it in either place. I mean, is it for sure Golden State?
Yeah, specifically, right? It's a 500 record at home versus Steph never plays well in Staples. That was exactly the thought that I was going to have. It, you know, the Lakers crowd specifically, it seems like, as opposed to the Clippers crowd when they play in that arena, that's a pretty intense home environment. So it's not like, you know, apples to oranges. It's just like, oh, it's a road game versus a home game. It's a home game versus a road game at Staples.
I shout out to friend of the podcast and Ringer podcast manager, Ben Cruz, who comes on occasionally, Sam. And one of the shows that Ben produces is a show called Off Guard with Austin Rivers, who I have admitted 1,000 times to this microphone. On the floor, I had a sports hate for Austin Rivers. In that podcast, I really like him. He gives kind of a cool insight. And the reason I'm bringing him up here is they talked about Chase Center random.
Chase Center.
That place sucks. It's really nice, but everyone knows, you know, the Oracle's where that real work was put in. There's an energy in that stadium you cannot emulate. Right. Regardless, Chase Center, they'll have their jerseys hung there, no problem. That arena is, by the way, absolutely gorgeous. Well, so it's like the Oracle is like where that's where like the energy and everything and
several players have mentioned that there was nothing like the Oracle.
It was different. Man, that crowd over there in Oakland, bro, it was just different.
I'll tell you, this isn't breaking news. I mean, we've done this a million times. And as an Oakland kid through and through, I was happy, kind of, you know, proud to hear it. But as a Warrior fan, and in the context of this, that we could even have a conversation where, I mean, we're all going to say we want them to play it at home. But that it wasn't a like, my God, it needs to be at home because we have this unbeatable home atmosphere is sad to me. There's nothing else left to say. I'll just be kind of pissy about it.
Well, I remember I went to a game as a spectator. I had friends. I have a friend who was living out in the Bay back in 2015, just as an NBA fan at the time. It was the first championship season. It was at the end of the first championship season, the Warriors played, I believe, the Kings, and Harrison Barnes had a tip in late in the game. To win. It was a really close game, came down to the wire, and it was at Oracle. And the crowd was, I mean, it was unbelievable. And just kind of the way the arena was set up and the acoustics of it and the low ceiling and all that, it made for a really, really interesting and unique atmosphere, right? I mean, pretty singular from what I gleaned and gathered to Oracle Arena. There's been great crowds that I've seen, you know, at the road or on the road and whatnot, but that experience, the Oracle Arena crowd definitely stands out. And, you know, again, me being, you know, the handful of games I've been to at Chase Center at this point, definitely not the same level of energy or enthusiasm that I remember back in 2015. The crowd at Chase Center can sometimes be late arriving. It doesn't seem like it's just automatically on go at the beginning of the game, kind of like how it used to be. It takes a while to get warmed up. The Warriors have to kind of get the crowd involved. So it definitely feels like a little bit of a different dynamic. And like you said, if that's kind of the discourse that's been going around, I mean, in my limited time here, I definitely buy it and see where they're coming from.
Like that you said, late arriving. Sam, there's no one in the seats in the third quarter for like the first like 4 minutes, dude. Like wait till the game tonight. They're going to be playing the Pacers. I guarantee you until about 9 minutes left in the third, you're going to see 40% of open seats. But that's not what this segment's about. Back to the possible Laker Golden State matchup. All right. So if that happens, they match up in the play in that first game. Who's the most important player on Golden State for that game, not named Steph Curry?
Yeah, I think obviously we understand the role Draymond Green plays in terms of anchoring Golden State's defense and what he brings on both ends of the floor. But I think all things considered, especially when you look back at how this matchup has grown historically, you talk about last season in the playoffs. The 6-game victory for the Los Angeles Lakers, Jonathan Kuminga wasn't really a part of what the Warriors were doing at that time. And fast forward, you know, almost a year now, he is massive focal point of what they do, especially on the offensive end of the floor. And I think there's a physicality that he plays with. There's a force that he plays with that I think is especially valuable and important in a matchup against a team like the Lakers, that when the game slows down and when it in postseason play, they really leaned on their physicality and their size. And that was, I think, a big determining factor in how that series went. So you look at what Jonathan Kuminga has been able to do the last couple of months, the confidence he's playing with, the game he had on Wednesday, 26 points, a number of emphatic dunks. And it's not just the athleticism, it's the comfort that he's showing in shooting off the dribble and going to his mid-range and creating for himself, in stepping into his perimeter shot with confidence and knocking it down and taking the right shots, right? There's been a little bit more of a blend of his jumper and shots from the perimeter, but those shots are often in rhythm, and if there's nothing there, he's moving the ball. He's defending his position, and I think his size and, again, his physicality on the defensive end of the floor, where he's made strides throughout the course of the season, and certainly when it comes to playing with the lineup, the grouping that the Warriors like to go to, there's a lot of importance on what he's able to do defending the wing and defending some bigger players. So in a matchup where you have to contend with Anthony Davis, with LeBron James, with Rui Hachimura, right, with the force that the Lakers are going to try and play with, I think he becomes especially important, and an opportunity for him to kind of showcase, kind of prove that he should have played last season. So he, I think, has been not just unbelievably critical to the surge that the Warriors have made, so to speak, even though they're still in the 10th spot. They obviously had that stretch where they played better. His emergence was massive in that, and perspective playoff run, however far the Warriors take it, he's gonna have to play a vital role in that too.
Love that. As somebody who can still feel my butthole tighten up with all the missed jumpers we had in LA last year during that series, and our lack of a change of place guy, we didn't have another option. You know, if Kuminga can be that guy, can get us rim pressure, you know, and get us some layups when the shot isn't falling, I'm on board for that. Also, I like the idea of it being his coming out party. You know, like, we know, we've been watching him. Golden State fans know who Kuminga is. But I don't think the rest of the league knows. And the fastest way to really let them all know is a playoff run. So hopefully that happens. I'll add another name. I agree with you, Sam. I'll add another name. I'd like there to be another magical version of Klay Thompson. So we've got, like, Game 6 Klay. That's magic. Sign the toaster Klay. Magic. There's got to be a Staples Klay. There has to be. He's got too much family in there. He's got too much history there. It would be cathartic now after that last matchup, you know. So if Klay can get going too, that would be incredible. Maxime, wrap us up. Who do you pick here?
Well, I mean, I agree. So I'm not going to say anything different. But obviously, we would love to see Wiggins. Draymond recently came out and said that Boston was the more talented team in 2022, and you know it's because of play from, like, amazing people like Wiggins kind of stepping up a level that really got us the win in the end over what he said is a more talented Boston team. So, you know, you want to see all these guys step up and play the best version of themselves. But to bring it back around, I agree that it's Kuminga. There's nobody on the Lakers roster that has that potential to come out. We already know what Austin Reeves was because he was kind of the darling of last year's playoff run. There's nobody else under 25 besides Jalen Hood-Schifino that's of any real interest yet. And, you know, that's just because he's a new pick. And, you know, I think it's Kuminga that has the potential to surprise the league kind of in the way that Andrew Wiggins did in 2022 when people said, oh, he's actually living up to that first round or number one overall pick potential. So I'm hoping to see it from a lot of different people.
I'm hella worried about Wiggins. I wasn't even going to talk about this, but I'll talk about it briefly and then back to you, Sam. Silly analogy. Every now and again, I'll have a friend over or something, and we know that friend has a timeline. They're like, I can hang out to like 6, you know, and then we get to like 6:37. We know the friend should have left. I hope they stay later, and you don't want to say anything. You know, like the timeline has passed over when they can't hang out anymore. Andrew Wiggins has a brother who plays overseas. That brother recently took to Instagram and said, he apologized to his teammates, apologized to his fans, said he had something going on at home, some personal matter going on at home, and couldn't finish the season. Who knows what that is? I won't speculate what it is, but the fact that one member of the Wiggins family doesn't want to play basketball right now because of something personal going on makes me very worried that it might be time for Wiggins to leave. And in that same thing, it's like, I don't even want to look at my clock. I don't even want to talk about it. Hopefully he continues to stay, but I'm worried, man. I'm worried about where this goes. Sam, to you, How you been, man? How's the beat? How's your life? You know, the last time we spoke to you, you were starting a job you described as a dream job. You know, you've traveled a bunch. I mean, give us a sense, dude. Everything good?
Yeah, for sure. I definitely developing and learning to understand kind of the rhythm of the NBA and the NBA season and everything that comes with it. I think kind of within that, developing a feel for living in a brand new place, right? Living in San Francisco and settling in the Bay Area and trying to establish, you know, my life around the job and around what I'm doing on a day-to-day basis as well. So blending those things has certainly had its challenges, but it's still just as rewarding and just as fun as it's been for me since I started, right? Getting the opportunity, of course, to travel and see so many great arenas and great basketball at the highest level, again, has definitely been a dream come true. And now, you know, like we've kind of been talking about, the Warriors are at a position where it's going to be a real sprint to the finish, right? There's going to be a real sprint to the finish line. The schedule is compacted. A lot of these games are on the road, and all of them are significant because of, you know, the reasoning that we've discussed so far, where they're at in the standings, any kind of, you know, postseason push, and then beyond, you know, beyond seeding, just making sure that they have the rhythm that they want to going into a potential play-in situation. So it's been fun. It's definitely been a lot. It's been a unique experience for me, but I'm still having a good time with it and trying to take it one day at a time.
One of the reasons I feel so lucky to be able to do this podcast is it puts me in proximity with people like you, man. And you not only are following the team and I only like your work, but you strike me as a very solid people person, that you can read the room very well. And as a beat writer and the time you're spending with these guys, that means a lot. Yeah. I mean, like, if for listeners to this podcast, they know what happens on the floor. You're listening to the huddle, you're watching every game, but you've got an advantage that none of us do. You get to see these guys off the court in a way that we don't. So let me start just kind of with an overarching question. What's the vibe around the team, man? You know, we've had quiet confidence every time we hear from Kerr, and that quiet confidence has been echoed by Curry through most of the season. And we're a game removed from it now. But when they had that frustrating loss against the Knicks, Curry wasn't quietly confident. He was openly frustrated. You know, he dropped that quote about, I don't care about seed if we're playing like this. So spending time around the team in the way that you have, what's the vibe you're picking up? I mean, is there angst? Are they still confident? What are you thinking?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think there's a sense of urgency, but I also think that there is a kind of an aura, a quiet aura of confidence too, right? I mean, they at this juncture in the season, with where their record is at, with where they are in the standings, obviously you want to win as many games as possible. That's always the goal and the priority. But I think they are more so fixated on how to, again, develop a rhythm and how they're playing as they go into a playing situation. And this is a team that's had, you know, quite a bit of experience in situations like these, right? In high stakes games, in big moments, playing games that they've had to win. So with that being said, yeah, there's definitely urgency, but they also know that there's a case of been there, done that they have. And maybe this set of circumstances being at the bottom of the plane is a little bit different kind of urgency than maybe this group has felt in the past, but it's still urgency nonetheless. So there is definitely, I think, a trust amongst this group. There's the chemistry has been very solid all season. I've observed that, and then you've heard that, of course, in different press conferences as well. Steve Kerr has talked pretty openly about that this is a group that gets along well. And you've seen that throughout the course of the year as roles have changed. You've seen guys take on new roles and starting lineup, not starting lineup, in the rotation, out of the rotation. There hasn't been any resentment. There hasn't been any issues surrounding those things. And I think that's a really good sign for a team that's, again, dealing with a mix of old and new, of veteran players and young players, and trying to gel and figure out who can do what, who's best at doing what, and what lineups are best deployed in these situations. For there to be that level of, I think, collective poise, all things considered. And again, it might not necessarily reflect on the court at all times. They haven't always played well, but that hasn't necessarily turned in anything off the court. This is a group that has championship pedigree, that has an experienced coach that's managed all kinds of situations, that understands what they're facing, and, you know, has shown for all the struggles that they've had, they did show for an 18 game stretch, right? 14-4 before Stephen Curry got hurt, and were they 16-5 in his last 21 games, something like that. So they've shown that they're capable of putting together a sustained stretch. It's just about doing it against better teams on a more consistent basis. That's what it's going to require to make a playoff run, and they know that. So trying to develop some semblance of consistency these last few weeks, I think, is definitely key.
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Maxime, what's your angst level? Where are you at now? I mean, just like watching this team, you know, because this week featured both sides. Yeah. Or I mean, I guess not this week, these last like 6 or 7 days between the New York loss, where you're playing a team that's missing two gigantic pieces and they show up with almost no heart. And then a pretty solid win. I mean, Memphis obviously isn't full strength. They're also missing basically all of their pieces, but the Warriors look locked in. And, you know, like they did have that sense of urgency. So as a fan, where are you at right now, man? How are you feeling about this team?
Yeah, like, you know, it's when they put the mask over your head and spin you around before you're supposed to pin the tail on the donkey. Like, I feel like I'm going to throw up, and I'm not sure if just it's because I'm dizzy or because I'm legitimately worried. We were talking weeks ago, like, oh, let's get out of the play-in mix. We can get up to that 6th seed. I totally see how it's going to happen. And then now we're like, oh, it'd be great to get to the 8th seed, you know, and now we're here. We're talking like, man, it'd be interesting if we could have home court advantage in this 9-10 matchup. I don't know. It's the angst level is pretty high, but I'm also maybe defeated at this point, so just enjoying the ride, I guess.
There's a very old comic strip, not even a cartoon, Charlie Brown.
An
ongoing thing, okay, over and over again. Charlie Brown has a friend named Lucy. Lucy puts a football down, asks him to kick it. Every time right before Charlie Brown kicks it, she pulls it out. And Charlie Brown knows it. He knows he's going to pull it out. He doesn't want to fucking fall for it. And every time Lucy finds a way to get him to run at that fucking ball and swing and miss. I am Charlie Brown, man. Every week, Sam, I'm like, okay, they're not there. It's okay. They don't have to be a championship. You know, we'll reduce your expectations. Everything's fine. You can lose. And then they go on a streak, or Wiggins looks motivated, or JK suddenly seems like an athletic marvel, or somebody reminds me how great Steph is, or Clay looks like old Clay, whatever it is. Something happens. I start running. I start convincing myself I'm ready to go. And then they pull the football out and I have a fucking loss like New York, and it impacts me emotionally, and I'm super upset. And, you know, so it's been a hard thing. But instead of making this an emotional question for you, let me give you an objective one. All right. So the standings as of now: 7th place Suns, 8th place Kings, 9th place Lakers, 10th place Warriors. That means in order for the Warriors to make the actual playoffs, they would first have to beat LA in LA, then would have to beat either the Suns or the Kings at home. If you had to bet something significant to you, rent payment, mortgage payment, something, what would you bet? Do you think the Warriors make it out of the play-in and into the first round of the NBA playoffs?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think they can get out of the play-in and into the playoffs. Right. The reason that those other teams are bunched in the kind of the play-in zone are because they've had their own issues, like the Warriors have had. Right. Like the Lakers, for all their, you know, for their prospective advantages in the series, they are in a one game setting, right, with the matchups that they're able to go to. They've also had trouble putting those together. They've also had trouble being consistent. They've had guys in and out of the lineup. They've had to change their identity on the fly, you know, multiple times, right? I think Phoenix has struggled with some of those things too. There's, of course, the health concern with their big three. Now they've had, you know, a relatively nice stretch that they've been able to put together towards the second half of the season, but you've seen the inconsistencies there as well. And same thing with Sacramento, right? So that's why those teams are where they're at. And again, going on the experience factor, going on what this team has looked like for the better part of me covering them, right? Not the entire time, of course, but with Steph Curry in the lineup and with the kind of the small ball grouping and the bench five that they have and with Chris Paul steadying the second unit, I think it's a team that can definitely string together back-to-back wins in a play-in setting. Now, obviously, we got to see what happens and see how everything shakes out. But there's a reason that this group has the confidence that they do. There's a reason Steve Kerr has stayed calm and tried to instill that confidence in his group, and it's because he's seen them put together runs in the past. Right now, a run again might look a little different this time around. It might just be a run to the first round or a run to a really competitive series. But in a coin flip setting, I still think the Warriors are capable. They've shown that kind of upside of putting together a full game on both sides of the ball that can get them into a playoff situation.
Sam Gordon, you beautiful son of a bitch. I'm running back towards the football. Let's go, dude. I'm ready. Lucy, put it down. Let's see if I can make contact this time. I'm with you as well, and they're going to hear us talking about this a lot over the next couple of weeks. We don't need to go into the analysis. Instead, brand new segment, Sam. All right. This one's called He Said What. So also not breaking news. There are player podcasts everywhere now, and we're starting to get more and more entertaining quotes, not just Austin Rivers. Now LeBron and JJ Redick have teamed up, which is going to be, a really fun and interesting show. And I don't have to guess. They already gave us one episode, and in it, they talked about Steph and said this.
For sure.
People would clear their benches with a 17-point lead in the fourth and 9 minutes to go.
Yeah, for sure.
You can't do that anymore.
You can't do that anymore. You know why? Because I believe in 08, 09, or whenever that little light-skinned fucker came in the league, that's in Golden State, he changed that whole narrative. He did. He single-handedly changed the no lead is safe. It's like Pat Mahomes right now.
It's interesting you bring up Steph because I think there's
love that guy,
a long that. History of Steph. Great players
mm-hmm.
that have impacted the game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see a lineage between different skill sets, right? Michael to Kobe,
yep.
right? You can see that.
Yep.
I don't know that there's been a player that has influenced the game more than Steph. And you can certainly point to like Harden yeah. for sure in that era, Damian Lillard for sure, but you're right, it started with Steph.
When it comes to influence, since I've been watching the game, the most influence on the game, and obviously we know what Mike did for the game.
Sure.
You know, but Steph and Allen Iverson are the two biggest influential guys in our game since I've been watching and covering it, you know. One, they're 6'3", 6'4", if you want to.
Steph's not 6'4".
If you want to look on the back of a basketball card, you know, you're always a lot taller on the back of the basketball card. You know, Allen Iverson and Steph, they were just so relatable. And kids felt like they could be them. They were guys that was not always counted on. They were small in stature. And they just defined the odds. So you got AI, who's like unbelievable crossover, cornrows, arm sleeve. We wear arm sleeve. Everyone wears an arm sleeve now because of Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
And he's going in the trenches, you know, laying it up over bigs, whatever the case may be. And now you have Steph, who's shooting over the Empire State Building.
Sam, here's my first question for you. Do you agree? We don't have to cover the AI portion. Is Steph, if not the most influential, one of the most influential players on the game?
Oh, without question. Yeah, without question. He changed the geometry of right. of basketball, right? The way the floor is spaced, the way that offenses are structured. I mean, a lot of modern basketball looks like is based off of the influence that he's had with his, of course, with his shooting ability and his way to create offense, not just for himself, but with for his teammates, with his shooting ability. So I'm with LeBron. You know, Steph was the first, and the Warriors, right? Those great Warriors teams at the kind of this beginning of this run, their ability to use pace and shooting to uncork those, you know, 12-2 runs, those 14-0 runs early in the third quarter. Nobody was better at that. And that, again, a lot based on his influence. The ground that defenses now are responsible for covering, and the way that the Warriors have been able to weaponize shooting as a whole, change the geometry of modern basketball and how the game is played.
I agree. We know LeBron agrees, which leads really to the question I wanted to ask you. So here's my perception of LeBron. Nothing's on accident. This guy, especially his public perception or public image, it's very carefully crafted. It is very well done. And if he says something out in a public environment, there's a reason behind it. He's not just saying things. Generally speaking, he's pushing things in a direction. This is all just guessing and speculation. No one's talked to LeBron. But what's going on here? Why make sure that one of the first quotes that come out of this podcast he wants to go everywhere, why is it a unabashed compliment to Steph Curry? Any guesses? Either of you? I mean, actually, or Sam.
Well, first of all, because we talked about this off air a little bit, and I was like, yeah, LeBron, you know, conniving, whatever. It could have just been a segment. But then JJ Redick, as he starts talking about Steph, LeBron doubles back in the middle of JJ's take and says, oh man, I love that guy, right? Like that to me, it was almost too thinly veiled. Like, oh, he needed to make sure that people knew that he loved Steph. You know, maybe this is another pulling the football out of me as I'm Charlie Brown, but we went through this whole thing around the All-Star break. Is he going to go to Golden State at some point? And then eventually that news got squashed. And here we are again. That's the only thing that makes any kind of sense, is that he's interested in some kind of a team up. And it's not just because they're going to go play in the Olympics together this summer. There's clearly something interesting happening here. So who knows? I think he also sees that KD came to the Warriors after losing against them on OKC and then got a bunch of shit. So I don't think that if either team falls out from the other one in the play-in tournament this year, that either star is going to be interested in the narratives that come with teaming up with the other. So I don't think it's really set up for them to go and play together at the end of their careers here. But, there's something going on, to your point. I don't necessarily think that it's going to be there on the same team.
So Sam, the content creator in me thinks that LeBron knows, look, if I come out and talk about Steph, That's a clip that's going to go everywhere, you know, and it's him, by him pointing somebody else out who's one of his competitors, he shows a little bit of vulnerability, which makes that podcast, you know, even more sought after. If LeBron's going to be in there talking about truths I didn't expect him to, there's a better chance I'm going to listen. So it's possible this was done as a motivational, as a podcaster, not as a player. But what Maxime just said does speak, you know, and we have been talking about a possible team up of the two, you know. How do you view this? Am I digging too far into it? You know, is there any motivation behind this quote, or is this just content that he's putting out into the world?
I think both you guys are, you know, are right. Right. I think it can be content. And I think also, I mean, you know, I guess covering, you know, back in Vegas when I covered boxing, right? Like, they've played against each other a bunch in the finals. It makes sense. It makes LeBron look better. Mm-hmm. The better Steph's legacy is, the better he's perceived publicly. Right. Like, LeBron beat Stephen Curry in the finals. He beat him in the series last year. Right. Like, they played that, their rivalry is, I think, has been a very defining part of their respective legacies. Right. The better they look for, the better they make each other look or talk about one another, I think the better for their own respective legacies in a lot of ways as well, because of what those battles have meant, not just for, again, one another, but for the NBA at large. So that there could be an element of that as well. But maybe it's just, you know, game recognized game. Those, again, the two, I think, like, defining players of their respective eras, and guys that really, you know, understand what it's like to be at that, you know, spot and that pinnacle. In terms of not only accomplishments on the court, but, you know, there's a level of celebrity status that they both have off of it. So there's definitely, I think, a unique respect and bond and commonalities that have developed over the years between the two that have extended, you know, off the basketball court. Maybe it's just highlighting that to a degree as well.
I also liked, I mean, so maybe this is me being over-calculative and I'm just projecting, but I like that Steph was willing to drop an F-bomb in there. Or not Steph, that LeBron was willing to drop an F-bomb in there. Because again, he did the same thing in that barbershop show you occasionally see on Max. But it changes. We're so used to seeing a polished G-rated LeBron that the second he drops an F-bomb, even if the take isn't, you know, incredibly well thought out, Steph changed the game. The second he adds an F-bomb in there, it just makes it feel more important and like you're hearing it from behind the scenes kind of thing. Here's the last question I have for you. And so first, let's set up. LeBron is almost unrivaled. I'm a Jordan guy, but I recognize that LeBron has now entered that conversation. And so his impact on the game is unquestioned and how great he is, all of that, right? But in this context, if Steph has been the most influential to the game over the last few years, do you guys think LeBron has impacted what's happening on the floor? Because I see his impact off of it. He is Mr. Player Empowerment. You know, he has changed all of that. He does things like open his own school. He has his own fans now, as opposed to rooting for the team. They're following him around. The way that he's gone after contracts and has been outspoken. I mean, he has changed everything off the court. But when I look on the court, if I'm thinking about Steph, I don't have to wait 5 seconds. I'll see something immediately. Someone's going to take a three they otherwise wouldn't have. With LeBron, I don't see it. You know, and I don't, maybe it's because he's such a freak of nature that it's impossible to replicate what he was doing. You know, the same way you don't see another Magic Johnson. There's not going to be another 6'10 point guard. But Sam, you do this shit for a living. Do you see his influence on the floor? Am I off on this?
I think some of those teams, when he was in Miami, I think we started to see, and a lot of this, right, is because of a singular skill set that in NBA history only he's had, right? As you mentioned, I mean, you're not going to duplicate LeBron James. He's so proficient, and especially in his Miami years, I think that was when he was kind of at his very best.
Sure.
All things considered, right? There were elements of his game that are better in Cleveland, and you know, certainly I think a more calculated in terms of how he attacks in Cleveland and in LA and whatnot. But in terms of two-way impact, that I think he was at his very best in Miami, and I think we started to see some of the smaller lineups, right? And those Miami teams weren't necessarily the first team. I think Boston showed some small ball stuff with Doc Rivers on their way to the championship. They showed some of those looks, some of those lineups with KG at center, and have, you know, the value of having five players that can, you know, play on the perimeter, so to speak. But LeBron being able to play power forward and having Chris Bosh at center and Shane Battier, Mario Chalmers, Dwayne Wade, like those lineups presented a lot of challenges for opponents back then because of their versatility, because of their ability to space the floor. And that worked in a lot of ways because of LeBron's unique and versatile skill set. And obviously the Warriors took small ball to another level, you know, a couple years later. But some of those original kind of five out perimeter oriented, having a shooting all over the floor, a big man that can shoot. And, you know, some of that might've been discovered by accident when there was an injury, I think in the 2012 postseason, where Chris Bosh had to switch to center and play center for them in certain situations, certain matchups. So that's where I feel like his impact on the floor was at his greatest, is understanding kind of the power and having a versatile combo forward and what that can do lineup wise, and how you can unlock different spacing and offense and different offensive actions around that, and defenses too.
Credit to where it's due. So when we first started that, I started talking. I could tell you thought that he had impacted the game. And I thought that my little speech was going to change you. I literally did. I thought you were going to be like, ha, you're right. And instead, now that you've finished talking, you've changed my opinion, which kind of sucks for me, but nicely played. You're not wrong. The Warriors did take it, but Draymond playing small ball center defensively and offensively, you know, it could have been an emulation of what the hell that Miami Heat team was doing, and with LeBron specific. So that's a great take. In fact, Maxime, edit this and make it seem like I said that first. All right. And then, you know, whatever, we'll give Sam his flowers as well. Sam, we missed you, man. It is phenomenal having you back. It's great having you as a part of our Warriors family. For people out there who need far more Sam Gordon in their life, where do they go?
You can follow along with my stuff on Twitter at by Sam Gordon, and then, you know, all my website, all my content is for the San Francisco Chronicle and the Sporting Green. So, feel free to give me a follow on X or Twitter. I still call it Twitter, but I guess technically X, and appreciate any and all readership of my stuff for the Chronicle. So it was an honor joining you guys. It's always fun talking basketball, and really appreciate y'all having me.
The honor is ours. I will 100% endorse the X/Twitter account, with the exception of watch out for the Santi Aldama takes. Those can really be gutting if you're at a dinner. For us, you want to get us an email, let us know we did a good job, bad job, any job. You can send that email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
That of mine. Go Warriors. Hopefully, we'll see you real soon. We'll be right back.
Good, good.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.